Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bellstar.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio Theme, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 4826 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
All right, welcome to Weed Day Wednesday. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Sativa Sister. Oh, there is a little peep out of her. And Cannabis Kid, where are you? We miss you. Are you out front? Is that you in your truck? No. Cannabis Kid's not feeling well today. We're just hoping and dreaming that he was here, but we want you to feel better and probably cozied up somewhere. It's a nice blankie. So, yeah, who are we kidding? Sleeping. That's just about how it goes. When you don't feel well, you just sleep it off. And then the dog barks. Well, welcome to Weed Day Wednesday. It's April 5th. And that's for the besties, if you can listen in later. And it is a gorgeous, gorgeous day. It's going to be 84 degrees in our beautiful little town of Tucson, Arizona. That's how you spell it. That's how it is. Tucson. T-U-C-S-O-N. The Foothills. You live in the Foothills? That's right. And we live in Tucson, which is down below the Foothills by the creek. So come on down. I don't know what happened just now. Yeah, we just got pokey on you. So come on down. So, oh, hey, all right. Tell a joke. There was some really funny jokes that I can't remember anymore. Where's Paula Stoner when you need her? Oh, my gosh. Anyway, welcome to Weed Day Wednesday. A Cannabis Kid sent me something really funny the other day. I'm going to try and find it. Let's see here. Let's go to Facebook. He sends me Facebook stuff, and I don't claim to know how to do Facebook at all. So this is from HBO. It's really funny. This is Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. So check this out. This is just for fun and interesting fun facts, folks. So here we go.
Marijuana. Basically catnip for people. It has gained increasing acceptance in recent years. In fact, one small bright spot on election night was pro-marijuana referenda passing in 8 states.
A big win for lovers of weed.
Well, we are really excited. I mean, California. This is a huge victory, not just for Californians, but for really the country and the world.
Everybody here should be so excited by this.
They should.
It's a little weird that those celebrations happened the same night that Trump was elected. It's like celebrating your baseball team winning on the deck of the sinking Titanic. Bit of a mixed bag today, but still, go Sox, Yankees suck. Now, as it stands, 44 states now have some form of medical marijuana law, and 8 have laws allowing recreational use. And that is good news. The war on drugs was futile, expensive, and imposed overly harsh penalties, especially on African Americans, who police data suggest are over 4 times more likely to be arrested for marijuana possession. Although, interestingly, white people are a million times more likely to be shocked by that statistic. And this is clearly no longer a fringe issue.
In 1969, a Gallup poll showed 12% favored legalization. Today, it's 60%.
Exactly. Marijuana is something we've just all gradually decided is okay. Like Mark Wahlberg as a serious actor. You know what? Sure. I've decided I'm fine with that. But the legality of marijuana is actually much more fraught than you may think. In fact, if you have marijuana right now, even if you are acting completely legally according to your state, you may still be in serious jeopardy. And that's not your weed-induced paranoia talking. You could lose your home, job, or possessions, Greg. And yes, I know I'm freaking the shit out of any stoned viewer named Greg right now. But that is not a bad thing, because this story is genuinely worth worrying about. And let's begin with going back to why marijuana is so heavily regulated in the first place. It was legal at the start of the 20th century, but anti-drug hysteria, fueled partly by racist stereotypes about who was using it, led to it being gradually outlawed around the country. And naturally, it was Richard Nixon, the Mozart of racially motivated lawmaking, who targeted it in his war on drugs for reasons that he was open about in conversations he inexplicably recorded. Footnote, you know who he's talking to there? Billy Bush. Yes. That's how people just open up to that guy. Now, Nixon signed the Controlled Substances Act in 1970, and it's still in effect today. Marijuana is classified as a Schedule 1 drug, the highest classification alongside heroin. Schedule 2, a step down, features drugs like cocaine and methamphetamine. And marijuana is not a Schedule 1 any more than a hedgehog is an apex predator. You're not scaring anyone, Roland. Get a tattoo. But that federal law is constantly clashing with new state laws, and it's causing big problems. For instance, legal marijuana businesses have struggled to get bank accounts because at the federal level, they are still seen as criminal enterprises. So if banks took their deposits, that could be considered money laundering. And this has meant that businesses had to operate all cash.
100% of our revenue comes in cash. This is federal taxes that we pay in cash.
Oh, God.
Also our payroll, when we pay all 12 employees, they're getting envelopes of cash. These are state taxes.
That is a shitty way to be forced to do business. On a suspicious scale, cash-stuffed envelopes rank somewhere between unfurled hundreds dusted in white powder and a wad of damp wands containing a single pubic hair. And if you are wondering why he was talking about paying his federal taxes, amazingly, under federal tax law, you must declare income even if the source of it is illegal. The tax code even has provisions like, if you receive a bribe, include it in your income.
This is so great.
If you steal property, you must report its fair market value. Which seems such an obvious trap to catch criminals. It should really be listed on the form as, this is a trap, are you really this stupid? Oh my God, you're filling out a federal form admitting guilt, aren't you, you dumb, dumb idiot. So marijuana businesses have all the tax liabilities of other businesses, but what they don't get is one major advantage.
The agency bars them from making most normal business deductions.
Yeah, you could end up with a tax bill far more than any potential profit you could ever make.
That's right. You can't deduct certain expenses, and that can mean that you pay double the amount of tax that you would if you were selling any other product. So just think about that. That means the shop where you bought your weed may pay double the amount of taxes paid by the shop where you ordered that shitty pizza, Greg. Yeah, I'm talking to you again, Greg. I told you this was important. Pay attention. And it is not just businesses facing difficulties. It's customers, too. Just like Brandon Coates, who was paralyzed from a car accident as a teenager. Now, he had a prescription for medical marijuana, but he was fired from his job at the Dish Network after he failed a drug test.
What was it like for you when they said, we don't want you to work here anymore?
Well, it was devastating. I mean, it's hard enough for somebody like me to get a job. People look at me like they probably don't think that I can do what I can, you know?
Did you think because you had a medical marijuana card that you had license to go ahead and use it?
Well, I was under the impression that we had passed a law and that we had made it legal.
Yeah. It's frankly understandable that he thought he was doing nothing wrong. The state had given him a license to use medical marijuana legally, and yet he got fired anyway. And also, he couldn't turn to the Americans with Disabilities Act for help, because that is a federal law, and it doesn't protect marijuana use. All of which is pretty frustrating. That's like driving exactly the speed limit and getting pulled over by a cop who tells you, sorry, the federal speed limit is 3, and the legal age to drive is 62, and also, you have to be drunk. Surprise! You're fucking under arrest now. And even if you are only dealing with your government at the state level, decades of enforcing anti-drug laws can result in local officials making big mistakes, as two Michigan parents, one of whom treated his epileptic seizures with marijuana, discovered in 2013.
Steve and Maria Green of Lansing helplessly watched as their infant daughter, Bree, was taken from their care. The reason given? The state-sanctioned medical marijuana user's home was too dangerous for their six-month-old because of the plants inside.
It would place our residents at a higher rate of armed robbery and therefore was an imminent danger for my child to be removed.
That is just completely absurd. If you have valuable items in your home, we might take your children. Although I will say, that is going to add some real excitement to The Price is Right from now on. Oh, I really want that entertainment center, but I love my kids. Fuck it. Sorry, Tommy. Daddy's going for the plasma screen. It's a dream, son. A dream of mine. And look, I know that some people will say, well, hold on. The medical efficacy of marijuana needs a lot more study. And that is true. The problem is, it's very difficult to do that because, again, federal laws are standing in the way. To study marijuana, you need approval from 3 different federal agencies, which can take years. In fact, one scientist was forced to wait 6 years just to begin studying its effects on PTSD, which is a long time. I frankly wouldn't blame her if she just said, fuck it, I'm studying dust chocolate during sex, help red wine make you lose weight. At least that way I'll get to go on the Today Show. And if you are conducting a federally approved study on marijuana, you can only get it from one place.
Dr. Mahmoud El-Soli oversees the University of Mississippi's Marijuana Project. Its mission? To aid law enforcement and produce pot for federal study, mostly related to addiction.
For all intents and purposes, you're the government's sole producer of marijuana.
Correct.
It's true. The sole source of government-sanctioned marijuana is that guy at the University of Mississippi. So please update your stereotypes about the University of Mississippi, which I believe is the official slogan of the University of Mississippi. And while researchers wait for marijuana to study whether it helps with PTSD, plenty of veterans will tell you it absolutely does. Take Danny Belcher. He is a Vietnam vet who'd been prescribed a great deal of medication for pain and depression. But, as he told the Kentucky legislature in 2014, he found that when he tried marijuana, it started really helping him.
I do have my bowl of pot in my house. And if I wake up at night and have nightmare, when I'm wringing wet with sweat, and I see Kramer, his dead body, Rodriguez, his dead body, if that nightmare gets so bad, I can't wake up, I realize it's just a nightmare, I will light that pipe up, I'll be a criminal, I'll go back to sleep, but next morning, I will get up at 6 o'clock like I always do. About 4 days a week, I go to the gym, I run, I help other veterans. I couldn't do that if I was on them damn drugs the VA had me on.
Exactly. So for all the talk you hear of marijuana being a gateway drug, in his case, that gateway led to peaceful sleep, rigorous exercise, and community service. Pretty nice fucking gate, it turns out. Nice one to walk through if you get the chance. Now, you may have noticed that he said he's acting like a criminal there, which is a little odd, because Kentucky actually has a medical marijuana law on the books. But the shortcomings of that law touch on many of the reasons why legal marijuana can actually be a bit of a gray area. For a start, Kentucky's law has many restrictions. It only applies to one marijuana product, and it requires a written order or a prescription. And that is a real problem, because under federal law, it is technically illegal for any doctor to write you a prescription for marijuana. Now, so most states, then they get around that by just calling for a recommendation or a certification, which doctors can give you. But even if Kentucky's law did that, if Danny went to his doctors at the VA, They couldn't give him anything because they're a federal hospital, and federal policy prohibits VA doctors from even recommending marijuana, regardless of the state law and regardless of their medical opinion, which again is a bit weird. A doctor shouldn't be ignored because he recommends marijuana. A doctor should only be ignored because he is televised. We all agree on that.
Dr. Oz.
Even if Danny had a private doctor and Kentucky rewrote its law, where would he get marijuana from? Because Kentucky's law also neglected to set up any system for legal marijuana distribution. So he'd have to obtain it from somewhere else. But where would he do that? And how? Now, he could have it shipped, right? Except, no, that would be a federal crime. But what if he flew to a state where marijuana is completely legal and just brought it back to Kentucky? Here's the thing. No, again, that is also a federal crime. Could he drive to a neighboring state to get what he needs? Unfortunately, no, because two of those states have total prohibitions on marijuana, and the rest don't currently recognize out-of-state patients. Now, if you are thinking, well, hold on, could he train a carrier pigeon to carry the pot from Colorado? Yes, that's a good idea, and cool bird stamp. But, as a practical matter there, no. Partly because it's illegal, and partly because you know the bird will eat it on the way, stop flying, and spend the whole night giggling about how owls seem like they have glasses, but, like, don't have glasses. And that's crazy, right? They don't know, but it's there, right? The point is, if you live in Kentucky, despite there being a law that ostensibly gives access to medical marijuana, there's virtually no legal way for you to get it. Now, things fractionally improved toward the end of the Obama administration, because his general attitude was essentially this.
We still have federal laws that classify marijuana as a illegal substance,
but
we're not going to spend a lot of resources trying to turn back decisions that have been made at the state level on this issue.
Right. His attitude to pot was basically, I'm not going to hassle you over this unless you make me. Essentially the same policy as a security guard at a Dave Matthews concert. And his administration issued guidelines in that spirit. By the end of his term, it was actually a little easier to study marijuana and for dispensaries to get bank accounts. But those guidelines weren't permanent, and that could be a real problem. Because our new Attorney General is Jeff Sessions, the concept of golf expressed in man form. And he has been pretty clear where he stands on marijuana.
This is not a non-dangerous drug. This drug is dangerous. You cannot play with it. It's not funny. It's not something to laugh about. And trying to send that message with clarity that good people don't smoke marijuana. Well, Lady Gaga said she's addicted to it and is not harmless.
Yeah. Okay, Jeff. But Lady Gaga also said, I believe that men and women deserve to love each other equally, as well as touch me in the dark, put your hands all over my body parts. So please, Jeff, if you're going to live your life according to Gaga quotes, accept the entire canon. And listen, I'm not saying there shouldn't be laws to place sensible restrictions on marijuana, as there are with other substances, but our federal laws desperately need to be brought up to date, and perhaps there is no clearer sense of just how establishment that view is becoming than this.
The Cannabis Caucus is a bipartisan effort to protect state marijuana laws and blow out outdated federal prohibitions on weed. Believe it or not, these are the guys pushing for legalized pot in Congress.
Yes. There is now a Cannabis Caucus in D.C., and it's co-chaired by these four narcs. And if even an 83-year-old Republican from Alaska has come around on this issue, then it's probably time for our laws to catch up. And there are a bunch of ideas out there. One bill proposed just this week would remove marijuana from the Controlled Substances Act and officially rename the ATF the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Marijuana, Firearms, and Explosives, which does really make sense. Just get all the awesome stuff together in one place. Why not keep going and make it the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Marijuana, Firearms, Explosives, Monster Trucks, Motorcycle Jumps, and sick-ass leather jackets with tigers on them? And by the way, that jacket is even sicker in person. This is my jacket. This was made in Jordan. This is an actual $6,000 jacket. And for anyone stupid enough to buy one of these, it's worthless now. I just made your jacket uncool and worthless by wearing it. huge undertaking. Marijuana laws affect everything from environmental regulations to international treaties. And ideally, we should also go back and expunge records of people convicted of low-level marijuana offenses in the past. And all of this, I know, is a lot of work, which is why we should really start right now. Because I would argue that it is absolutely worth it for people like Brandon Coates and for people like Danny Belcher and perhaps most of all for Greg, who has been freaking the fuck out this whole time. I can see you, Greg, and I can hear your thoughts.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Cannabis Kid. He sent that to me the other day, and I had such a good laugh. I thought we should share that. That's fantastic. And we hope you do feel better. We have an article we're going to read, but first we're going to give some shout-outs to Tumbleweed Health Center. Come on down to 4826 East Broadway Boulevard. No sweet. We are. Come on in and see us. Certifications are just $85 if it's a new certification and $65 if it's a renewal. If you don't have doctor records, that's okay. Our doctors can diagnose most ailments, not all of them. So there are some things like PTSD where you have to actually have been seen by a psychiatrist or and then have a therapist and have it documented that way. We can't do that. But then, you know, but your migraines, your chronic pain, things like that, come on down and see us. Go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com and check it out. On the certification section, you can book an appointment. But if you have PTSD, cancer, glaucoma, HIV, AIDS, ALS, Crohn's disease, agitation of Alzheimer's, a chronic or debilitating disease or a medical condition or the treatment for a chronic or debilitating disease or a medical condition that causes wasting syndrome, severe and chronic pain, severe nausea, seizures, including those characteristic of epilepsy, severe or persistent muscle spasms, including those characteristic of multiple sclerosis.
If you suffer from one of these medical conditions and have been diagnosed by an Arizona licensed physician, medical cannabis may help relieve your symptoms. Tumbleweeds Health Center is Arizona's premier cannabis certification, health, and education center. Our primary focus is to help the patients of Arizona obtain their medical marijuana card and educate everyone about medical cannabis. With current medical records, approval is a simple process. Contact Tumbleweeds Health Center to see if you qualify for your Arizona medical marijuana card.
Yeah, you can contact us at 520-838-4430, thctucson@gmail.com. Go to the website, www.tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, and there's all sorts of ways to contact us there. We were just chatting because every time I read this statement, besides the fact that it's very long, and I usually don't get through it without messing up, but I did this time. it says that, so these are the conditions that the state of Arizona, in their Arizona Medical Marijuana Act, have approved. And this gargantuan statement that starts out and says, if you have a chronic or debilitating disease or a medical condition or the treatment, which is where we're wondering what this next phrase is, or the treatment for a chronic or debilitating disease or a medical condition that causes any of these things. So we were wondering what the difference is. If you're being treated for something, you obviously have it, or is it that they're, or if you're being treated for something that causes you seizures, like, I don't know, it could be, I mean, it could be insomnia. Let's say you have insomnia, or you have anxiety, or you have some of these other conditions that aren't necessarily listed on here that the state doesn't approve, but it's causing these things. That just opens the whole ballpark to a whole gamut of conditions that you can get certified for pretty much anything if it causes these. The wasting syndrome, the severe nausea, the seizures, spasms, MS, epilepsy, chronic pain. Because we get patients with Parkinson's, with leg or restless leg syndrome, tremors, but yeah, and that's like insomnia causes IBS, it causes nausea, causes you not to be able to eat, which is basically wasting syndrome. So, you know, bring whatever condition you have down to Tumbleweeds, and we'll discuss it with our doctors and make sure that we get you certified. So certifications are, the state fee is always $150 no matter where you go. we were just discussing, this is a veteran-owned facility. Thank you very much. Because we love the veterans. We've worked, and we love everybody. There are so many people that come in that are on access, they're on food stamps, they're on all sorts of programs for whatever challenge they got going on. That's fine. The state honors food stamps right now, and we'll give you a $75 discount off their $150 fee. We give you a discount just for coming back to us each year. We give you $20 off our doctor fee. And processing is optional. Not rocket science, but if you feel more comfortable, we can do that for you for an additional fee. So come on down to Tumbleweeds Health Center, 4826 East Broadway Boulevard. And I'd like to welcome aboard a brand new sponsor of ours, Canada Health, Knowledge, Safe Access, and Advocacy is their slogan. A wonderful magazine. They're going to come on air next week. We're going to have an interview with the creators, editors, writers, maybe the whole staff. The whole team is going to come on. Yeah. Actually, they're not going to sit in the living room because they probably feel they should, though. Not, yeah, but I think they're back east. So unless they all fly out here, we could fly out there. But, you know, anyway, Canada Health, there's a link. Check it out. We are going to have a feature about tumbleweeds in there, one of their upcoming magazines, as well as some articles, hopefully written by our doctors or our staff or possibly owners, maybe. I don't know. but check out, there's a link when you go on to Tumbleweeds Health Center and you go to the radio show section. Cruise on down. Today is Cannabis News, and then it says next up. Canada Health, April 12th, but there's a link there. You can click their little photo and get there and check that out. All right, what else is going on in the world? There's all sorts of stuff going on in the world. We like to check the weed blog out. And let's see. Oh, you know what's coming up? I just saw this because it says one of the first things the weed blog says is what are the best 420 events in 2017? You can check that out because here in town, 420 is on a Thursday. Okay, we can clap for that. That's basically the weekend. That's the weekend, everybody. That's good. All right. We'll go with that. Well, in L.A., the weekend starts Thursday. So actually, basically Wednesday night at midnight, you're basically in your weekend for L.A., Thursday, Friday. I had three Saturdays on a Friday and called it a night, right? Oh, my God. Never mind. Yeah, that's how L.A. does it. So if you want to do it like L.A., go to L.A. I'm just kidding. But if you're here in Tucson, you can go out. It's the Tucson Raceway, 1 to 7 p.m., sponsored by Desert Bloom. And Tumble will be there. And lots of other awesome organizations are going to join. And we're going to celebrate the National 420 holiday for us cannabis users worldwide. With the sound of, there we go. There's the audience. You guys are quiet today. Must have been the bong hits we passed out during that first show. Wasn't that funny? That was great. God, I want to play that again. It's so funny.
It was funny.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was really good. So there's also down at the 420 Social Club down on 4th Avenue, Safer Arizona is sponsoring an event. You can go down. They're not quite sure how they're going to allow partaking, because they want to allow people to see their facilities. But normally you can, if you're a cardholder, you can pay an entrance fee to get into the building and then use your cannabis while you're there with other cannabis users, which is actually a very nice thing to do. It's a little cannabis community. So not quite sure how they're going to do that, but they're going to be tent set up. And, oh, we just got a message. Where's that radio show button? So here it is, the 420 event. This is the Desert Bloom one. But so you could, at the Sports 20 Social Club, you can actually partake inside if you have a card and you contribute to their cost of their housing. But they're going to have tents set up and vendors set up and information set up and just people out there talking about cannabis and educating and informing everybody. And 4th Avenue is a nice place to do it because you got a lot of the college kids out there, and a lot of the artsy folks go out there, so you get a good mix of young and wise, we'll call them. Oh, where'd the sound effects go? That was funny. We're supposed to be laughing. Anyway, we got an update from the Cannabis Kid. Hi, Cannabis Kid. If you want to come on air, let me know. I don't know if you clicked that number one button. You didn't, so we're just going with that. But he says this. It's the 420 Relief. Okay, sponsored by Relief Brands, Tucson Weekly, AZ from Normal, Firebrand Infusions, Tumbleweed Health Center, Weed Maps, Desert Bloom, music, go-karts, food trucks. Wow, I'm clapping for go-karts. Medical marijuana, go-karts, go-kart. Go-kart. Oh, there's an eating contest, Muscleman Honda circuit, right on, and deliveries by Desert Bloom. Hey, medical marijuana deliveries by Desert Bloom. Maybe to your go-kart. Oh, don't drink and, oh, don't use and drive your go-kart. There goes the sound effect. Anyway, so that's a big lineup. So go on down. It's Thursday, 1 to 7 p.m., so, and it's supposed to be a beautiful day, and it's the national holiday, so let's see. I think the show before, I would have to get out a calendar to look at this, but I think we've got the 19th is the day before, is Wednesday. So, yeah, do a math, which is not me. So we'll have, maybe we'll have Mr. Ari from Desert Bloom on. Maybe we'll just do that and get him on here. No pressure. He'll come on. We'll talk about it. He'll whoop it up. Maybe we'll have somebody from Safer Arizona also come on and discuss what they're doing. Mark or Robert or any of the guys from Safer Arizona, it would be great to have y'all. So, you know what else is great?
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a huntin', looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
Walk into my house, like, what up, I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high, looking like it's FIFA time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of iced tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cottonmouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa. Can I take a 65? DeVille cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking
know about the science of marijuana. What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, they need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy Richard Nixon. Is the president who made the plant illegal, but science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons. I take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers, and bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interests. I call that getting swindled and pimp shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs, it's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
All right. How's it going?
Hi, everybody.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling all right. I think what had happened was some food poisoning. We tracked it down, and I had a little chicken wrap from Trader Joe's.
Oh.
That's the only thing I can think of. So.
Yeah.
But it ran me down to the ground, but I'm feeling a little better today. So, hi, everybody.
Well, we'll clap for that. We'll clap for feeling better. Oh, my Lord. Food poisoning is I think it's the worst thing you can probably get.
It's that and the stomach flu. It's right there, hand in hand.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's the whole intestinal thing. It's not a fun thing.
Yeah, we'll it's say. Really that. It's that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's just the unknowingness.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you guys got to talk a little bit about the 420 event coming up at the Raceway.
Yeah,
I was actually
go karts.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
They said it's going to be so much fun. So, this is in, it's 2 weeks from tomorrow, right?
Wow. Yep.
Yeah, so 2 weeks from tomorrow, we will be out at the Fire Brand. Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's a Tucson Raceway.
Yep. Tucson Raceway Park. Which is a little bit out here, but it's going to be really nice that day, and I think everyone's going to really enjoy this. Desert Bloom Relief Center puts on a great 420 event. This is their third one, I think. They also do an oil, which is a 710. And so they've really just been really trying to work at getting the community more involved. And being able to have these special days that, you know, kind of show our support for cannabis, it's really nice to have a place out there that's going to be able to support these kinds of events. So,
that's really nice to have that out there. It's going to be a gorgeous day, and there's going to be just so much going on. Go-karts. I know. Go-karts. Can you tell I'm excited for those? The whole oil thing is interesting because I don't think people understand that. So the concentrates, basically, I mean, oil backwards upside down is 17 calories or whatever. Calculator, old school, you know, when people used calculators and had pagers, they would spell things, hello, oil, you know, what else? Hi.
Boobies.
What is it?
Boobies.
Booby, all right.
Yeah.
Call me. There are some phrases out there, oil. Maybe that's what it was. But the oils are good because what I've heard is for, you know, really chronic pain, like just for cancers and stuff that needs to get hit hard, those kinds of things do it. It's like your extra strength versus your regular. And some people need that, you know, just like the Rick Simpson oils. That term basically is just a concentrate of, you know, it's just a way to concentrate cannabis in the highest possible form that you can use to help cure yourself. So that's why they celebrate the 710 holiday. Oil. Go kart. So I
yeah,
was
I find those.
Thing.
Oh, nice. Huh? All right. What are you going to be reading? Oh, I was going to say, you know. I was saying those concentrates, they tend, if you aren't ready for them, I encourage to take them very slow and little bit at a time because where it takes you, the onset of that concentrate is very can be sometimes debilitating. It can actually just take you over if you are not aware of its aftermath. So I say just be very, very slow with them. There are new titrate vape pens out that are able to be able to just take in a little bit and then be able to set it down and see where you're at. And that way you're not using these large amounts. And they could be expensive sometimes, too. The waxes and the dabs are a little bit on the more expensive side.
A little dab will do you.
Correct.
Maybe that's where that came from. All those housewives of today. You know, they're taking their food and medicine elixir. Step right up. Yeah, there were some strange things in those medicines back then. But cannabis was in there, too. And the vets use cannabis a lot because they can really knock out a large animal without killing it. And that's something, you know, that anesthesiologists today have problems with. Yes, veterinarian. My dog's out there crying. But, yeah, you know, even today, people doing anesthesia, they're not 100%, and sometimes, you know, things happen, even with the vets. When I was a nanny once, the lady I nanny for took her dog to the vet to get neutered, and her dog didn't wake up. Yeah, that was a sad, sad day. So, you know, they used cannabis a lot back then for animals because you couldn't kill them, but you could tranquilize a horse, knock it out, sure. They were using concentrates for sure back then. But the same page that the John Oliver HBO hysterical thing was on, and gosh, I so want to play that again, there's another article, The Genes of Terpenes. Scientists discover pot smell predictor. So, yeah.
Very nice.
You can smell different strains. That's why, you know, a lot of times when you go pick out your medicine, the people behind the counter will actually ask you if you want to smell it because your body will instantaneously tell you if that's a good thing coming in or if, hey, oof, I don't really like what that plant has to offer, i.e. smell. Because there are two plants. Okay, so Yumbo is a strain of indica to me that smells like dirty, stinky socks, and I just can't handle it. And then there was a strain, I can't do it. There was a strain one time I grew called Critical Cure, and sorry, it smells like dog poop to me. I open the jar, and I'm like, oh, my God.
It's a very earthy smell, Belle. Very earthy.
Yeah,
it's very
earthy,
and then
in the house.
I'm trying to think of some of the terpenes that they had that they were saying that were in that one. It was just very
that one. Or no, what's in sour diesel? Because when you grind it up, actually the smell is different, and then when you smoke it, the taste is different. But that initial smell from the outside, I just for the longest time I just quote let it cure. Because
the sour diesel.
Yeah, what's sour diesel composed of? Anyway, you find
we'll
that
talk.
Out. While I
I'll find it.
All right. We'll find it. We've got Tech Girls already on it. She's looked sour diesel up on Leafly and Weed Maps maybe even. Right now, so this says, the genes of terpenes, scientists discover pot smell predictor. By now, most even casual consumers of marijuana are familiar with terpenes, the compounds found in the essential oil of plants responsible for a plant's distinctive taste and aroma, and with cannabis, which also play a role in how the plant affects the mind and body. So like with the lemon, limonene is the terpene in it. You will find limonene in your lemon, which is put in your, you know, lemony fresh pledge, your pine sol, your things like that. And then, you know, oranges, all sorts of, like they said, it's the essential oils of plants. So according to a pair of scientists from the University of British Columbia, to find which terpenes a plant will produce to determine if a cannabis plant will smell like skunk, funk, or sweet apple pie, you can look at the plant's genes. Yeah, skunk and funk, that's two different things. Let us attempt to explain. Yeah. Terpenes are prized not only because they have profound impact on the humans who consume them, but because they're not predictable. Similar or identical strains of cannabis will produce different levels of terpenes. And as anyone who's waded into cannabis genetics can tell you, identical, quote, strains, i.e. two varieties of Blue Dream, will have very different genetic makeups. Oh, heck yeah. We have a fine idea of what terpenes are and what they do, but less of a handle on how to predict with precision what terpenes a finished product will have and why. Concentrations and ratios of cannabinoids are relatively predictable for different strains, the researchers wrote, but terpene profiles are often unknown or unpredictable. We have a better idea now. As reported in an article published in the journal Plus One on Wednesday, after studying both the genetic makeup and the terpene count of a variety of hemp called canola, and in a cut of purple kush, researchers Judith K. Booth, Jonathan E. Page, and George Bullman believe they've identified as many as 30 genes that may predict how a plant produces and synthesizes terpenes. As the Vancouver Sun reported, the scientists looked at the genomes of plants, of cannabis plants, to identify genes associated with resulting terpenes, or which genes led to, quote, terpene biosynthesis, quote, as they wrote. I like that. They believe they found a, quote, cannabis terpene synthesis gene family, quote, that is a set of genetic markers that determine how a plant produces terpenes associated with terpenes including myrcene, limonene, the fruity and piney flavors found in many strains of popular cannabis, including Cookies, GG number 4, and OG Kush. What to do with this information and why should you care? Consumers can look forward to more and better terpene products for one. Armed with this information, plant scientists can breed a plant to produce terpenes or at least know what starting off seed material will produce an aromatic product. This is also a major step forward in cannabis genetics. For a long time, plant breeding was focused on traits that would predict levels of THC and CBD. And now we know terpenes play a role, along with cannabinoids, in determining a plant's effect. After this first step towards predicting a plant's terpene count, someday we may be able to expect marijuana producers to make availability finely tuned cannabis for precisely the effect we're seeking. And that's, thanks science, that's exactly what I want to know. So, and that's exactly what everybody wants to know. People come into Tumbleweed Cell Center, welcome, and they come up and they say, I've got rheumatoid arthritis, I've got degenerative disc disease, I've got Crohn's, I've got neuropathy, I've got stage 4 cancer. What strain should I take? And that's the thing we can't quite pinpoint, but that's the thing that looks like that's where we're going, and that's just science. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. That is awesome.
That's fantastic. And your nose knows. It's, you know when you smell something good and when you smell. But see, my nose tricked me on the critical cure because once I ground it up and tried it, it's a whole different thing. It went from dog poo to I don't know what else. So here we go. We've got.
See, now I don't feel that way. I think it smells. It has a different smell to it. It's not one of those fresh. It's very pungent. It's got. But, each one of those, and I was just thinking and looking at this sour diesel, there's so many terpenes out there. And we're just, the ones that are just found in some of the plants that that people are already have been consuming, which would be like cinnamon, sage. And there's, myrcene in cinnamon and the bio... Bicamphaline. All of these ones are, when you think about it, are missing in our bodies. This is why we're attracted to them. We want these kinds of chemicals inside of us. They help us be more aware while we're here on this planet. You know what I mean? It's almost like we've been so out of touch with these kinds of chemicals, the cannabinoids and the terpenes and all the other things that are found in cannabis. We've been so far removed from them for such a long time, which is why they talk about our endocannabinoid system being, not working or, somewhat, there's different stages of it being in working order. And some people just haven't turned it all the way on or haven't gotten themselves to that chemical balance of what is needed for the system. And so we're hearing all these things. Bella, you said follow with your nose, and it really does make that sense. Is you know, there are ones out there that your body says, hey, I like that. Put that inside here. You know,
yeah.
I want that.
Get it.
So it's just really amazing how, I mean, if we just listen to our bodies and ask it what it wants, and I know some people think it sounds silly, but asking your body, I mean, really, is not a bad idea. I mean, so many times we don't ask our bodies what we want, and we overlook.
Well, look how often at the grocery store you see people picking fruit and vegetables up and smelling the heck out of them. That's just what they do. Right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, you
yeah, it's how we have evolved as humans is being able to eat the fresh, ripe fruit when we know it. I mean, this has been generations and generations of how to look for, you know, the ripest fruit or when, you know, I mean, now in grocery stores it is a little bit harder. But, you know, when you're out on a farm and there's, you know, apple trees, there's, you know, citrus. We know here in Tucson we have a lot of citrus. So you know when your citrus is done here. You've been accustomed to it. It's been now, you know when the blossoms are happening. You know how much time you have until harvest is going to happen. You know, these things that have been ingrained into us. And over time, you know, ancestral has just been part of how we've done this, and it goes right back to cannabis. This plant hasn't been a part of our lives for so long that it's been so far removed, it's scary for people. It's been, and, you know, society has definitely not helped by installing that fear into people and continuing that fear to happen. And fear is a learned behavior, and it will be continued, and it will go through generations. You know, fear gets passed on. And this is something that it's been so far removed from our bodies and from society that this integration has been such almost like a celebration of it coming back and people enjoying it again and it being used as, you know, for medicine, for religious reasons, for recreational, and how much it's helping our human race.
For emotional. I mean, it's doing wonders. You know, you heard that vet say, I can't even imagine just dreaming night after night about your friend dying, laying next to you. And then he's got his little bowl of pot next to him and he wakes up and smokes it, does his bowl of pot, goes back to bed. I mean, how sad is that? Have to even have those nightmares in the first place. That's a horrible, horrible thing, you know?
From what war, you know, something that he felt was that he needed to be a part of and went and experienced that and came back, you know, missing parts of himself. And so it's really amazing that this plant is able to put some of those parts and pieces back for him and for him to get some relief.
Yeah, completely. There was a little, I was looking up, we were looking up sour diesel. I love when people come in and say, can you tell me about leaf fly? It's leafly, but I like leaf fly. It goes along with crick.
It sounds good. It sure sounds good.
Does sound good. Yeah, it sure does. But there's a little video about, we were talking about sour diesel and the terpenes and the smells, and leafly did a little strange spotlight. They call it sour diesel. So let's listen to what they have to say about this.
Hey guys, my name is Regina and welcome to the Leafly Strain Spotlight. This week we'll be diving deep into a strain with a little bit of a kick, Sour Diesel. Sour Diesel, sometimes called Sour D, is an invigorating sativa named after its pungent, diesel-like aroma. This fast-acting strain delivers dreamy yet energizing cerebral effects that have paved the way for Sour Diesel's legendary status. Stress, pain, and anxiety melt away with the strain's long-lasting relief, making Sour Diesel a top choice among medical patients. Its stimulating effects have earned Sour Diesel a crown in the sativa category, but its unknown origins leave room for debate. According to growing guru Ed Rosenthal, sour diesel originates from Mexican sativa and chemo, while other folklore claims that sour diesel descends from ChemDog 91, Northern Lights, and an unknown skunk phenotype. Whatever its true origin may be, this strain is sure to pack a punch. Now, if you want more details on how Sour D performs in the lab test, take a look at the strain fingerprint provided by Steve Hill.
So they're showing you the CDN,
so there you have it,
CDG,
a quick breakdown of the legendary strain, Sour Diesel. Discover even more details about Sour D, plus thousands of other strains, and where to buy them using the Leafly app or Leafly.com. This has been Regina for Leafly. Come back next week for another fresh look at the cannabis industry. See you then.
That's awesome. So we'll clap for that. That's a nice little strain spotlight that they have there. That's pretty great. Nice little catchy music. We'll take it, Leafly. We like it. Good job. All right.
Yeah, they do a good job.
There you are. There you are. So, yeah, gosh. I'm just looking on the High Times. They have a cannabis cup section that I need to get to another. We all need to get to a family cannabis cup. Tumbleweeds needs to take a family field trip. Field trip.
I love it. I think it's a great idea.
What did you send me over here? What are we looking at?
I sent you a little information about Critical Cure.
Oh, boy. Oh, Critical Cure.
And why?
Stinky poopy dog.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Oh.
So it just talks a little bit about what was in it, and
yeah, that sour diesel, it is very, very, very earthy. Do they have a so with Critical Cure, I was looking to see if maybe they had a little video on that, a strain highlight, but they don't. But it says from Barney's Farm, which is where I remember those seeds came from. They were actually a gift from somebody. It's a CBD Critical Cure, or simply Critical Cure, an indica-dominant strain that's said to combine Critical Kush with a Ruderalis variety. Now, Ruderalis is the third type of plant, indica, sativa, and Ruderalis, which triggers the auto plants into growing so automatically and quickly. Because this strain typically contains about 8% CBD and 5% THC, Critical Cure can annihilate pain and stress and inflammation with little psychoactive interference. The indica influence in CBD Critical Cure gives rise to deeply relaxing effects delivered alongside a sweet, earthy flavor. The strain attributes. Effects are relaxed, very relaxed. It pegs the relaxed marker. And then a little less than that, you get happy, sleepy, euphoric, and tingly. So, and then it says it's earthy, sweet, and pungent. See? They know. Pungent. And you're getting 5 stars and 2 thumbs up on all the... it's a great strain. Don't get me wrong. It's just the smell I can't handle. But that's, you know, that's a tricky one. That's like judging a book by its cover, which I usually do. But, a book's not a book without pictures. I got yelled at for saying that one time outside the supermarket. I know, crazy. Cannabis Kid, guess what?
What's
up? Are you there? Oh.
I am.
It's that time. Bam.
What?
I can't believe that happened that fast. I know you just got here.
I did.
But we will have.
Well, I'm glad I got to be a part of it today.
Oh, we're so glad.
Even though I wasn't there.
You were here, in spirit and over
there.
The airway.
Mm-hmm.
Next week we have.
What?
What's that?
You have who?
I'm trying to figure out how to turn down the music over here a little bit. I lost my master track. So
I'm on blue cheese right now.
What's that?
I said I was
there
on blue cheese right now.
Okay. Turning that down, turning you up, and all go
right.
For it, Candace. Well, we got to get out of here. We're sorry.
I know.
I
love you too.
We love our sponsors. Growers House, Canna Health, Feel Better, Cannabis Kid. Peace out. Remember.
Be smart.
Be safe.
Be safe. And educate.
And educate.
Educate.
We love you. We'll see you next week with Canada.
Love you.
Have a